Welcome to this podcast called Curious About Recovery. I am Kirsten Honeyball. I am your host. And in this podcast, I'll be diving deep into eating disorders, which are complex and challenging to navigate. So whether you're a sufferer, a professional, a family or loved one of a sufferer, you can join me as I get curious by interviewing professionals, chatting to eating disorder survivors, and sharing my personal experience with an eating disorder so that you can better understand various perspectives, remove stigma, hear inspiring testimonies, and simply get curious about all things eating disorder related. I would like to put out a trigger warning. These episodes explore the topic of eating disorders, and some content may be triggering to listeners. Topics explored may mention, but are not limited to, trauma, diets, food and body types, suicide, mental illness, substance use, self-harm, violence, gender identification topics, and more. Please take care before listening to any episodes. It's important to note that this podcast is not aimed to diagnose, treat, or cure any form of mental illness and should not be seen as a replacement for treatment of eating disorders. Everything said here is expressed in relation to personal and professional opinions, and listeners should be encouraged to view these episodes as an open-minded exploration of various possibilities and perspective rather than hard facts and solutions. Please take what applies or resonates with you and leave the rest. And if you're struggling with an eating disorder, don't hesitate to reach out to me at kirsten@kirstenhoneyball.co.za. In today's episode, I'm going to be speaking to you a little bit about the concept of change. So when I think of an eating disorder, I think that it is this real resistance to the concept of change. If we look at it on a very practical level, we say it's really scary for my body to change. We are hypersensitive to change. We feel it very dramatically within our bodies. And by extension, feel it probably quite dramatically in our lives as well, you know, because our psychological state is so connected to our physiological one that sometimes the concept of feeling, the sensitivity we experience, can be quite intense as an eating disordered person in both physical and psychological realms. Now, I know I've probably dived quite deeply and quite quickly into the topic, but my point is here that a person with an eating disorder and possibly even with other addictions or mental health issues is often a very sensitive person. And so perceptions of things like change can feel greater than perhaps a person who isn't as sensitive. And I want to use the word sensitive in a way that doesn't imply a sense of weakness, but rather implies a sense of perception. You know, how do we perceive the world? And how is that sensitivity received by others? I've heard a lot of professionals and people speak about how they always felt like they were too much when they were younger, or they always felt like they thought too deeply or were too creative, or that things affected them too much or whatever. And a lot of the time, the conditioning of whatever environment they were brought up in led them to, by necessity, subdue their sensitivity through destructive mechanisms. So maladaptive coping mechanisms such as binge eating or hoarding food or hiding their food and body behaviors or compulsions around food or whatever it is that manifested in your specific life. The reason why I'm explaining this idea of people with eating disorders having generally a more sensitive nature or being able to perceive things at a higher level has been both a benefit and a hindrance in eating disorder recovery. I mean, if you think of your ability to be sensitive and empathetic and to feel other people's emotions and to be affected by things, it gives you an immense capacity or ability to help others, to be creative, to be perceptive, to seek deeper truths and wisdoms in life. But it also comes along with, if you don't know how to do that in a safe way, it can often become overwhelming and unbearable. And so you'll grab at these things outside of yourself to feel better or to feel more soothed or to feel more calm or whatever it is around this area. And one of these things is this idea of change. Now, when you think of recovery from disordered eating, a lot of the time there's a lot of fear. Fear arises from a sense or a perceived threat or danger. If there was anything at a young age that happened that caused change, change in perception, change in feelings, change in environment, change in people, or change in how you view the world, if that change was created in a place that didn't feel safe or calm, then it could definitely drive a deep path in the brain to say that change is an unsafe thing. If I look at it from a personal perspective, I try to think of things that I experienced at a young age that were feelings of change that felt unsafe. Now, a very cushioned example of this is when I moved homes at the age of about 6. And my earliest memory of that home was quite a violent event where there had been a shooting around the corner from my house and the culprits had found their way into our gardens and people were running around with guns and everything. And I have this distinct memory of not feeling safe. And so I guess in hindsight and through some self-reflection and all of that, I can look back on that and think, I experienced quite a significant change of moving home, and that came along with a feeling of unsafety. Now, that's just one tiny little example of an experience that I had when I was younger that might have shown that there was change happening and it didn't feel safe. There could have been other things like how I was perceived by others and changing perceptions on a day-to-day basis. So I had a friend at school who would always change her mind about how she perceived me. She would one day be really, really nice to me, and then the next day she would be really horrible. And I started to get really uncomfortable with this back and forth, this changing perception. These are just some examples for me, but it might be worthwhile to just take a moment and look back on your life, maybe a timeline of sorts, and say, when did I experience change? Anything that comes up for you is probably significant, whether it was moving, whether it was a change in your perception of yourself. So for instance, I had one lady once come to me and hold my legs and tell me that if I lost what I had around my legs, then maybe I would be beautiful. Coming from a place where I previously didn't question whether my legs were beautiful or not, I now had this change of perception and it felt unsafe. There was something wrong with me. And so take some time and just reflect, you know, what happened in your life that involved an element of change that didn't feel good, that felt like it brought some kind of negativity around the way you see yourself or the way you see the world. And recognize that this may have some significance into your perception of what change is now in your maybe adult or young adult or even older adult life. Now, when we are young and we form a belief that change is scary and change is not safe, it becomes something that is quite hard to overcome in later areas of our life, even though the original trauma or the original thing that we struggled with is not present anymore. It now is something that we could be dealing with on a subconscious level. Recently, I was watching a reel of a lady that I have interviewed on the podcast before. Her name is Merit Elizabeth, and she was talking about three coping skills that she uses in eating disorder recovery. And the three things she spoke about was movement, so getting out of your environment, moving your body. Another thing she spoke about was meditation. And then the third thing that she spoke about was learning a skill or, you know, doing something creative. And these are tools that have definitely seen value. Right. And it just got me thinking about this idea of change and this idea of not feeling safe around change. Now, if I look at those three things, meditation, getting out of your environment and moving, and a new skill, every single one of those things involves some element of change. I'm changing the way that my brain is operating or thinking. I'm changing my mental state. I'm changing my physical state. I'm changing my environmental situation. I am changing my knowledge. I'm learning. I'm moving. Being in the process of change without it being a scary thing. And this got me thinking, wow, like maybe a really great thing to do as a tool for recovery is to see how you can practice change in a non-threatening way. And maybe for you, this is about slowly introducing certain types of food that you might have previously been scared to eat. And doing it in a safe way, doing it in a way where you may be getting meal support, or you are talking through it with a coach or a friend or a loved one, or perhaps you are in a new environment that you previously found scary, like a social environment, or you're in a dance class and you're moving your body and you're doing things that evoke movement and change and something moving out of the stagnant and rigid space that it's in into something that cultivates or allows for space and allows for growth. Now, I am a very abstract thinker, so this might be making sense to you and it might not, but that's totally okay. The point that I'm trying to get across is the concept of change is incredibly terrifying because it comes with a feeling of a threat to your current state. So a change in my body is a threat to my current state of what my body feels like, and right now it feels safe in its rigidity. Or a change to the place that I live or the person that I'm in a relationship with. Or it could be a change to my body shape, or it could be a change to the times that I eat or the type of exercise that I do. When we start allowing ourselves to be in change without it being scary, it becomes more manageable for us to be in change with our own bodies. So if you can change one thing in your day, whether it's changing the clothes that you wear, whether it's changing your hairstyle, whether it's changing where you sit, where you do your work, anything that can be a sense of change, we can say, you know what, change isn't that bad. I can handle change in small doses. And you can move to a space where change doesn't become so scary anymore. Because when you're in an eating disorder, you're stuck in rigidity. You're stuck in isolation. You're stuck in a place where it says, if I change, I won't be okay. And so you've got to reteach yourself that change is inevitable, firstly. And secondly, if managed in the correct way, can actually bring about growth, both personal, professional, mental, spiritual, emotional, anything like that. It really can help you move forward in your life rather than stay stuck in the space that you're in. The fear of change is the thing that keeps you stuck. It's once you embrace the change, once you say, okay, let me try and do this, but creating a safe space for yourself, you can then start to see some kind of growth and movement forward. In relation to how this might look like in eating disorder recovery, look at what Merit suggested in her reel. She said, meditation, change the state that your mind is in. Get out of your environment. Change the place that you're in. Move your body. Change your physiology. Change the energy that's flowing in your body. Learn a new skill. Change what you know. Challenge yourself to stretch beyond what your current limited thinking or knowledge or skill set is, and see how change can be a positive thing. And then when you're allowing yourself to do these things, to step into change rather than fearing it, you can start to say, okay, maybe I can handle this meal today. I think about it on a personal level. I got very stuck in rigidity around eating a specific type of food every single night. And I found a lot of healing would come when I would prepare myself for the evening and go, I'm not going to eat that thing that keeps me stuck in rigidity. I'm going to try different meals. I'm going to try different recipes and all of that. And flip, it was so uncomfortable. It is still sometimes uncomfortable when I try to challenge these rigidities in my mind. But as soon as I moved through that resistance and then went, okay, this is something I'm doing and it's good and it's not scary and it's okay and I enjoy it and I created a safety around it, I was able to see that my rigidity was the thing that was keeping me stuck. It was the thing that was keeping me afraid. Take some time today. Look at how change has happened in your life. Change that has made you perceive something that has brought fear or an uncomfortable feeling or uncertainty. And while I'm not encouraging you to ruminate on your past, it's just a useful tool to be able to say, hey, this is why I feel like change is scary. This is why I don't feel safe in change. And now where you are at today, you can start to create that safety for yourself. And then what you can do is you can say, what one thing can I change today? And it doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter if it's got to do with your food and your body or not. Whatever it is for you, what small thing can you change today? And how can you do that in a safe space where you can get comfortable with change and know that with change, there's often the uncertainty of outcomes. The whole powerful notion of, you know, looking at what I can control and what I can't control. And the first thing is I can control how I choose to respond. I can control how I challenge myself. I can control what I do, what I think. But what I can't do is I cannot control the outcome of those decisions. And so when you can say change is something I'm choosing to do, and I know that I might not get the outcome that I desire, there's a chance that I could get it. So letting go of the outcome of changes that you make is something that doesn't come overnight. It's something that you have to try and actively practice. But once you do it more and more and more, you will start to feel a lot more peace around deciding and changing and moving forward and growing. And when you get stuck, just go back to those three things. Change your state of mind, change your physical environment or the way your body's moving, or engage in something that changes your knowledge base. So a skill or a creative hobby or something like that. So I hope that this has helped, and I am very excited to release this and another podcast episode that is going with this, which is Relapse and Recovery and How to Bounce Back. Keep a lookout for that and for Merit Elizabeth's podcast. She will be joining me on the show as well. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you have liked it, share it with people who you think might benefit from listening to it as well. Don't forget to go to my Instagram page called @curiousaboutrecovery to find out about upcoming episodes or to browse the episodes of the past. You can also follow my page called @KirstenHoneyball, where you can get inspiration for your eating disorder recovery.